Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Point of Origin, a Legacy Novella by Rebecca Yarros, narrated by Meg Sylvan and Tim Page. Chapter 1, Emerson.
Just another month, Agnes asked as she handed the coffees across the bar in to-go cups.
Her nail polish was bright pink, matching the one rebellious streak in her silver hair.
Yep, one more, I confirmed when she sighed. You sure you need to go all the way to London? We're going to miss you around here.
I slid my debit card into my wallet and tucked it into my purse. I'll be back before you even realize I'm gone, I promised, taking both of the coffees. Maybe I'd be lucky and get back before I'd even realized I'd gone. Not that I wasn't grateful for the opportunity, but the whole purpose of the internship was political, and I'd never been politically minded.
Emerson Renee Kendrick, I've known you since you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. You've been coming to my diner just about as long and getting coffee every morning since you turned 18. I'll realize you're gone the moment you walk out of those doors.
I couldn't hide my grin as I shook my head. She was right, of course. I'd basically grown up in this diner, doing my homework until Mom finished work across the street in her florist shop. Yes, ma'am. Well, I'd better get these to Mayor Davis. She leaned over the counter.
Oh, is that hearing this morning? Everyone's been dying to hear who's been building up on the old parson land.
One of my eyebrows rose. Are you telling me you haven't driven up there a dozen times already and peeked? Of course she had. Everyone had. Except me. It wasn't the new construction that bothered me, but rather what laid along the ridgeline behind it. Her eyes widened in false innocence as she took a rag to the impeccably clean countertop.
Well, I mean, everyone's seen the signs. Legacy LLC. It's odd, right?
About as odd as anyone naming a company after the town we live in, I suppose, I said, slowly backing away from the counter. Agnes would talk all day if I didn't get out of there. It's got to be someone local, with all the money they've funneled into the rebuild. Just about every business owes them a debt of gratitude. The money had started showing up just as the rebuild was in full swing a few years ago. A few thousand here, tens of thousands there.
Right? And it's a rather large complex, don't you think? Was it even permitted?
It's just outside the legacy town limits, Agnes, so it falls under the county. Another few feet and I'd be home free.
Well, you could ask that boy you're seeing over there on the zoning board for the county. What's his name?
She looked up from the counter, her blue eyes locking onto my brown ones with the accuracy of a guided missile. You know darn well it's Greg Roberts. You've been serving him coffee just as long, and Agnes, we're not seeing each other. We're just friends, so you can stop hinting. My butt hit the glass of the door, and the bells jingled as I bumped it open. She waved her rag at me.
24 years old and you still won't lock down a man. Don't you want your name carved into my wall?
She gestured back to the soft pine wall at the south end of the diner, etched with the names of the town's lovers.
I'm telling you, if I had your figure, or that hair, I'd have.
Love you too, Agnes! I slid out the door of the Chatterbox Diner and into the crisp August air. Summer was still in full swing in the mountains of Colorado, but the mornings brought with them the little bite of fall's foreshadowing. The door glided shut behind me, and I winced, missing the squeaking hinge I'd grown up with, already mentally chastising myself. Of course the damn door didn't squeak. It was new. Everything was new, more or less. That's what happens when an entire town burns down. Everything gets replaced. I glanced over at the fire hall, its garage doors bright red against the stone of the building. Hell, everyone gets replaced. My heels clicked on the smooth concrete as I walked two blocks through our tiny town's heart, greeting everyone by name as they passed me. Greg's Explorer was parallel parked just before the town office, proving once again how punctual he was, how dependable. It would be so easy to fall into a relationship with him, to finally take him up on that date he kept asking for. But what good was that going to do? He was an attractive guy, sure, only a few years older than me and probably even a decent kisser. But there was no chemistry, no sizzle when he touched my hand, no longing within me. I felt just as frigid next to him as I did with every other guy, which honestly annoyed the shit out of me. It would be comfortable, safe, just like every relationship I'd had in college. But there was a reason I'd quit trying to date over a year ago. No one was him. My eyes slid shut and my grip tightened on the cups. Don't go there. I caught myself just in time, stopping the onslaught of memories with an indrawn breath and mentally going through my schedule as I blinked. Focus on now. The door to the town hall opened, and Greg stepped into the sunlight as it caught in his blonde hair, his suit impeccable as his timing.
Good morning, Ms. Kendrick, he said with a cute grin.
Mr. Roberts, I nodded with a smile as I walked through the door he held open for me. Nice to see you, I said over my shoulder as I walked up the flight of stairs to the mayor's office. He was totally checking out my ass. Greg, up here. His eyes shot up to my face as his reddened.
Sorry,
I laughed. At least I know the skirt is effective.
Very,
he admitted, as he raced ahead of me to open the second set of doors that brought us into Mayor Davis's office.
Do you know who this legacy manager is?
I shook my head. I figured you did, since you sit on the zoning board.
No, I only dealt with the attorney,
he finished as we made it to the office.
Good morning, Emerson,
Mayor Davis said, taking one of the coffees from me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you doing that for me.
I almost mouthed along as he spoke, knowing his routine by heart. It was as predictable as he was, as he liked everything to be. I'll make sure Jen knows how you like it. He paused over his desk as he was reaching for his files.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting that you're leaving us.
It's only 6 months, I reminded him.
Legacy will definitely benefit from you going, Greg added. An internship with the mayor of London is huge.
And I couldn't have done it without your recommendation and urging, I said to Mayor Davis. He waved me off with a small shake of his head.
That was all you, Emerson. You've been instrumental in getting Legacy back on her feet. You'll make a fine mayor one day.
Nope, not going there. Our 9 o'clock should be here, I said, trying to change the subject. Anyone in my position would have gotten that internship. We were the miracle town, the phoenix that had risen from the ashes.
Why do you do that?
Greg whispered as we walked behind Mayor Davis, following him down the stairs. Do what? I asked, juggling the files for this morning's business.
Act like you don't deserve the internship.
I don't like the idea of profiting from the town's history. From his death. All the death. He blocked me from entering the town hall.
You deserve it. You stayed when a lot of us left. You were on the front lines as a teenager, demanding they rebuild our high school. You commuted to college, volunteered your time here, worked on getting Legacy solvent. And what do you plan on doing with all this newfound city-running knowledge?
I'm coming home, of course. I'll use it here. There was no other place in the world I wanted to be. Legacy was my home and always would be. I blew a loose, dark brown strand of my almost grown-out bangs out of my face, cursing my hurried French twist, and tried not to freeze when Greg tucked it behind my ear. Why couldn't I want him? He gave me a sad smile and moved his hand away slowly as if I'd spoken out loud.
Then see? Think of it more as Legacy investing in you.
After an awkward side-to-side dance, I gave him a tense nod and slipped by him. Mayor Davis pulled my chair out, and I took my seat, placing the files in front of me as he took the seat next to me. The other council members slipped in, taking their seats with quiet chatter and louder speculation about the morning's events. It was a good thing these proceedings were closed doors, or half our 3,000-person town would have been in here to find out who Legacy LLC was. The first matters of business were easily handled. I made notes to talk to Mrs. Greavy about her hatred of the proposed stop sign at Plum Street and Aspen Avenue. It would go over a lot easier at the next meeting if she piped down about it. I glanced up at the clock. 5 minutes until the 10:30. I circled the name Legacy LLC on my agenda like I was back in high school, doodling on my notes. My elbow slipped on the desk's surface, and I knocked the file to the ground, paper scattering. "Damn it," I muttered under my breath, despite Mrs. Anderson's disapproving stare from the seat next to me. I dropped to my hands and knees, cursing my skirt and picking up the papers to shove them back into the file. The door to the room opened and shut. Our 10:30 was here. Thank God there was a wooden partition in front of the desk that hid me and my ass, which was no doubt peeking out from my skirt.
"Holy shit, you're Legacy LLC?" Greg asked from a few chairs down.
"I'm one of the partners," a deep voice answered. "How's it going, Greg?"
I froze, awareness racing down my spine, through my limbs, and tingling my fingers. No fucking way. It's not possible. But I knew that voice anywhere. It was the sound of laughter in my childhood, the lectures about my clothes when my curves came in, the deep whispered pleas not to get too close when he'd realized he was the reason I'd worn my skirt shorter, my necklines lower. It was the quiet timbre and soothing muttered promises that we'd be okay on that day our fathers had died. It was the silence that came after. Always the damned silence.
"Well, it's good to see you," Mayor Davis said. "How long has it been?"
I somehow willed my limbs to move in jerky motions, closing the file and using my empty hand to grip the desktop as I slowly rose. Thankful, my ass managed to land in my rolling chair and not the floor. I placed the file back on the laminate desktop and then slowly let my eyes lift, taking in the tailored black suit, the starched white shirt under the jacket that stretched across impossibly broad shoulders, and pale blue tie against the tan skin of his throat. When I got to his face, I lost the ability to breathe, the air stilling in my lungs as the second hand ceased to move. Our eyes met. His, as shocked as mine must have looked, for a second, before he carefully masked his expression. Cool, aloof, in perfect control. Control? What control? I was lost in absorbing every detail of the stranger who stood before me. He wasn't handsome or cute like he'd been during the short time we'd allowed ourselves to be together. No, he was gorgeous now. The sharp angular lines of his face 100% man, where I'd loved the boy. God, how I'd loved him. And he'd broken my heart, shattered it into so many parts that I was still finding small pieces here and there 6 years later. That stitched up heart pounded in my chest, heavy and light all within the same moment, as if it acknowledged both the glory of our heights and the pain of our fall. He was here. After all this time, he was 15 feet in front of me, and a world away. My bangs fell across my eye, and I blew them back, not wanting to miss a second of actually being able to see him, to breathe the same air.
"Emmy,"
he said quietly, a ghost of a smile passing his sculpted lips. How did they feel now? Were they still soft, or had they become harder like the rest of him? "Bash," I answered, barely getting the sound past my lips. So much for the years I diligently kept myself from thinking, let alone saying his name.
"How long has it been, Sebastian?"
Mayor Davis repeated after a few of the council members cleared their throats.
6 years, I answered, my voice nearly breaking.
6 years without a returned phone call, an email, any social media, or an explanation. I willed my anger to the surface, to overpower the shock of seeing him, or the way my body immediately warmed in his presence like he'd flicked some switch. Stop it. He left you, cashed your V-card on graduation night, and was gone before you woke up.
6 years, he agreed.
Those hazel eyes still locked on mine. They looked almost gray from here, the color they leaned towards when he was conflicted, upset. My stomach tightened at the thought of the last time I'd seen them burning green, his hands on my body, his mouth against my skin. Holy shit, I needed oxygen. I needed space. I needed my 6 years back.
And what can we do for you?
Greg answered, his voice as tense as the air between Bash and me. Bash looked away, and I sucked in a lungful of air. Mrs. Anderson passed me her unopened bottle of water, more than aware of the history between us. Hell, everyone in this room knew our history. Small towns have the memory of an elephant. My hands shook, but I got it open and took two long pulls.
I'd like you to incorporate both the land I own and my building into the town of Legacy.
His building? He was Legacy LLC. I willed my sluggish brain to catch up, and my eyes to stay the hell away from him. But they kept going back to the strong line of his jaw, the black, untamable hair that still stood in near spikes, the curve of his lips, the power in his stance. He'd been formidable in high school, intimidating in college, but now he was just massive.
Mr. Vargas, you're prepared for the tax implications, the zoning requirements?
Mayor Davis asked.
I am. The building has the strictest fire protection and is built to Legacy standards.
He stood tall, his arms at his sides, the only tell of his nervousness besides his eyes being the small rubbing motion he made with his thumb. I hated that I knew that. Hated that he'd left me. Hated that after 6 years, I still couldn't seem to stop my heart from crying out for an explanation.
Long-distance relationships never work, he'd told me before we'd gotten together. I'm in college and you're a senior in high school, Emmy.
We can make it work. We've always been the exception to never. Except we weren't.
The land borders the boundary as it is, and we have a history of accepting these kinds of petitions.
His voice was strong, deep, and sure. Mayor Davis nodded.
We do. I have no problem with proceeding with that paperwork. Anyone else?
His eyes swept up and down the arch of council members, and everyone seemed to nod their assent. Bash kept his eyes on Mayor Davis as they took a vote, never once wavering toward mine. I wished I could have said the same, but I didn't have the strength to look away. Because you're a fool. The council voted a unanimous aye, and the motion was accepted. I scrawled some notes on my to-do list, thankful that I was no longer the council's secretary, just Mayor Davis's assistant.
I'm glad you're back, Sebastian. We've missed you. Appropriate timing, the anniversary being in a few weeks and all,
Mayor Davis said. Bash's expression hardened, and he swallowed, then faked a smile that looked so genuine he fooled everyone but me.
I'm not here permanently, just to get things rolling. If there's nothing else?
He wasn't staying. I didn't know if I should be relieved or devastated. The emotions ripped at me in equal strength, making my chest ache.
We'll start the paperwork. You're good to go on this end. Thank you.
I could almost feel his muscles relax. My fingers flexed with the need to touch him, to assure myself that he was real.
One thing, Mrs. Anderson called out as Bash prepared to leave. He tensed as he turned back.
Yes?
What is the building for? Just out of curiosity.
He looked her straight in the eye.
It's for the hotshot crew. I plan to rebuild and reinstate it.
My breath left in a rush, my stomach plummeting to the floor as the room exploded into a cacophony of protests. There was no way the town council would approve, no way they'd reopen the wound that had nearly bled our hearts dry 10 years ago. The second hand on the wall clock behind Bash ticked 18 times before I could draw a real breath. 18 seconds. 18 elite hotshot firefighters. 18 deaths. 12 widows. 21 grieving children, including me. And Bash. He didn't answer their outcry, didn't fight back. He simply said,
"Thank you for your time," to Mayor Davis, turned and walked out of the room without so much as a look back, even for me.
At least this time I'd seen him leave. And unlike 6 years ago, now I knew exactly where to find him.
Chapter 2. Sebastian. Fuck me. I slammed the door to my Range Rover unnecessarily hard and wrenched my tie loose as I walked into my building. It was nothing like the original, where my father's hotshot team had operated. That building had been smaller, a little dirtier, ill-equipped, and a hell of a lot better. Not because of the facilities, but who ran them. I passed the large living room, the glass-walled gym, and finally came to my office, where my pain-in-the-ass best friend lounged. "Bad day at work, dear?" Riker asked, cocking an eyebrow at me from my chair. "Get your damned feet off my desk. Who's got your panties in a wad?" My tie hit the space his feet vacated. "No one," I barked. "Did you get a hold of Knox?" I asked, walking into the state-of-the-art kitchen I'd paid way too much money for. It was capable of accommodating the needs of 24 people without straining, just like the rest of the building I'd spent a year designing with architects and another year having built. I grabbed a bottle of water from one of the refrigerators, cracked the top, and drained the whole thing, wishing it was something a little stronger, like tequila or a horse tranquilizer. Oh, who the fuck was I kidding? Nothing was strong enough to wipe out what had just happened. God, the look on her face. Those huge brown eyes had flown wide, her lips parted, and it had taken every single ounce of self-control I possessed to look away. "Yeah, he's finishing up a job in California, and then he'll fly in," Riker answered from the doorway. "Good. We need him. Is he bringing anyone else?" It was going to take a hell of a lot more than just Riker and me to convince the council that it was time for another team. "The Maldonado brothers." "No shit?" That was almost a reason to celebrate. Almost. "No shit. What did the council say?" "It's going to be a battle for the team. I have no idea how we'll get them to agree to that part, but they agreed to the annexation." I threw the bottle into the trash can with a satisfying thunk. "Well, then you should be happy, right?" She was there. His forehead puckered. "Who? Mrs. Anderson? She's been on the council for years. I think it will take her dying or an act of Congress to get her out of there." "No, asshole. I don't give a shit about Mrs. Anderson." I raked my hands through my hair and left the kitchen, walking over to the floor-to-ceiling windows in the wide-open training area. Legacy lay in the valley below, and if not for the clearly marked scars on the mountainsides, there would be no hint at the tragedy that had annihilated the town 10 years ago. "Okay," Riker said in his "I'm sick of your shit" voice. "Well, I can run through every woman's name in town. God knows we've both fucked our fair share of them. Or you can just tell me." "Emerson." Just saying her name ripped a scab off my soul that was all too eager to bleed. He whistled low. "Oh, shit. Look, Harper told me she was leaving on the 1st. "Yeah, well, your sister was wrong." I should have double-checked, but the minute I'd started asking about Emmy, Harper would have told her.
"No, she wasn't."
The sultry, feminine voice behind me raised the tiny hairs on the back of my neck. I hardened every defense I had and turned to see Emmy standing just in front of the pool table, her arms folded under her incredible breasts, inadvertently lifting them to the neckline of her button-up blouse. tucked into that pencil skirt, she looked like a schoolteacher. Well, the kind that boys fantasized about during sex ed. And the way those soft globes crested at that last button. Don't look. Do not look. Too late. She raised a single eyebrow at me. Caught. I'm leaving on the 1st of September, not August, and yes, Harper told me you were asking. She addressed the last comment to Riker, who rubbed the back of his neck. I think I'll give you guys a... I'm going to leave. Riker didn't wish me luck, or so much as give me his condolences, just pulled a baseball hat over his blonde hair and ran, leaving me alone with Emmy. Emerson, I reminded myself. Emmy was the girl I'd grown up with, the one who tagged along at every crew barbecue and begged me to take her hiking with us. This wasn't her. This wasn't even the teenager that drove me crazy, the one I jerked off to for years when her curve showed up, the one I couldn't forget about at college, the one I fell in love with, the one I destroyed. She was a woman now, and from the look in those deep brown eyes, a pretty pissed off one at that. Are you going to say anything? She asked. You're the one that came here. She scoffed. You're the one who built a huge... She gestured to the great room, her eyes catching on the open second story and the exposed beams. Clubhouse for boys, she finished. Clubhouse? A smile tilted my lips. What are we, 10? Oh, no, you don't get to be charming, Bash. Not to me. Never again. The space between us charged with an electricity that could either power this whole house or burn us both to the ground. Years had passed, and that hadn't changed, no matter how much I wish it had. What would you like me to be? Nothing, just like you have been for the last 6 years. Ouch, you're bringing out the claws pretty early in the argument, don't you think? I tucked my thumbs in my pants pockets to keep my hands busy, to keep them from reaching for her. That ever-present need I had for her hadn't changed either. Fuck. We're not arguing. I took a step towards her. Oh, we're not? What are we? She retreated, keeping our distance equal. We are nothing. You made that pretty damn clear. Emerson, what happened between us? No. She threw out her hands and shook her head. We're not discussing that, ever, like it never happened, any of it. That's not why I'm here. Never happened. The hell with that. I could reenact every single second if I needed to jog her memory. Every time I took her mouth, from when she'd been 16, and I'd been too possessive to let anyone else have her first kiss, to the night I spent tangled in her arms, worshipping her until the sun came up and I had to go. Every moment was branded on my soul like a tattoo, and she wanted to act like it never happened? Fuck that. I closed the distance between us, and she scurried back on her heels until her ass met the pool table. One arm on each side of her delectable little body, I leaned in, catching her perfume as she closed her eyes. Bergamot, lemon, vanilla, Emerson. We happened. Her eyes fluttered open, focused on the buttons of my shirt. Emerson. Slowly, she drew her gaze to mine, and I fucking fell right in. Those brown depths had always been fathomless, capable of stealing every one of my thoughts. My blood ran hot, surging through my veins, pulsing with the rhythm of my heartbeat and lodging in my dick. Of course, I got a raging hard-on. I was within inches of Emerson Kendrick. Some things never changed. Don't, she whispered, the sweetness of her spearmint-tinged breath triggering another dozen memories of her tic-tac addiction. Say it, I ordered, needing to hear the words more than anything, more than reestablishing the crew, more than making our father's memories mean anything.
Don't,
she pled, her voice slightly breaking. Don't what? I leaned in enough that she bent back over the pool table slightly. Another few inches and I'd have her pressed against me. Where she belongs, a neglected part of my soul called out.
Don't come back here reopening wounds.
She shook her head, and her bangs fell into her eyes. Before I thought better of it, I had her hair between my fingers, the heavy brown mass streaked with strands of fire and autumn.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?